This is Robert Beatty bringing you London Column. London Column, which brings you items especially chosen for your interest and entertainment from the worldwide service of the BBC. In this edition of London Column, we recall some of the epics of the Eighth Army. We bring you the voice of General Eisenhower as he bids farewell to a radio service jointly run by British, American, and Canadian forces to provide entertainment during the liberation of Europe. To end our program, we take you to the English village of Great Yeldham to hear how the people feel now that the officers and men of the 8th United States Air Force have gone. With the disbandment of the British 8th Army, we recall for you some of the historic broadcasts sent to London and from there throughout the world by the war correspondents of the British Broadcasting Corporation. You may recapture, as you listen to these sounds and voices, the thrill these broadcasts brought as they told the story of the first break in the record of tragic defeats for the free peoples of the world. Do you remember the guns of Alamein? And so the chase across the desert. Then, with the 8th Army slogging at the Marath line, came the dramatic landing in North Africa, the resurgence of free France, and the first battles in which the New World had come to the rescue of the old. This was a moment of great significance, and it is recaptured for you in this description of the victory march in Tunis by BBC war correspondent Godfrey Talbot.
And now, as the flags at the mastheads are being unfurled, the stars and stripes on one side, the Union Jack on the other side, and in the center, the tricolor of France, as these flags are being unfurled, the pipes and drums are playing a slow march fast. Here they are.
Then the campaign in Italy. It was from there, in his headquarters, that General Montgomery broadcast his farewell message to the officers and men of the 8th Army.
I am speaking from my headquarters in Italy to the officers and men of the 8th Army. In this great army are soldiers from every part of the empire, from Great Britain and Ireland, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, India, and many other places. This is a truly imperial army. I have to go away, and I send the following message to the soldiers of the 8th Army. I have to tell you with great regret that the time has come for me to leave the 8th Army. I have been ordered to take command of the British armies in England that are to operate under General Eisenhower, the Supreme Commander.
The months of planning and of preparation which were to culminate in D-Day passed slowly, but the 8th marched on along that road of victory which began at Alamein and continued unbroken to Berlin. Almost the last official duty of Mr. Winston Churchill as Prime Minister was to review the march past of the Desert Rats in Berlin. Is disbanded, and the units are redeployed to other armies. Here is part of the message broadcast by their commanding officer, General McCreary.
The 8th Army was composed of many nations, all worked together in true comradeship. This spirit of generous cooperation is a good augury for the future of the world. 8th Army men will be playing a tremendous part if they continue in fresh fields to fight and work for right and justice, with the same enthusiasm which won great victories from El Alamein to the River Pearl.
The British 8th Army is no more, but their inspiration will remain as an encouragement to those who follow after, if ever again freedom should have to meet the challenge of an evil force.
Thank you.
listeners to London Column know it as an example of cooperation in the sphere of radio between Britain and America. Recently, a whole radio service specially arranged for the armies in Europe broadcast for the last time. This program, known as the Allied Expeditionary Forces Program, was a joint effort on the part of Britain, America, and Canada. It brought to each man the sort of program he wanted from home. General Eisenhower was good enough to record a special message to note the passing of this service's radio transmission.
To the American, British, and Canadian members of the operating staff of the program, I should like to express my appreciation and that of every member of the AEF for the long hours spent daily striving for perfection in a program which has been invaluable not only as entertainment, but also as a medium for promoting understanding among our peoples. To the field recording units that work throughout the operational area, recording timely events and the realities of war as experienced by the men who were faced with them, to the mobile transmitters units that relayed the programs from the continent to the forces as they moved forward and into Germany, to the BBC, which placed all of its resources behind this project, and to Mr. Haley, its director general, who has given so freely of his time and has so ably assisted in making the program a success. To all of you, we owe a debt of gratitude for your efforts in making this Allied venture a success.
Well, that was the voice of General Eisenhower in a message specially recorded for the last program to be broadcast in the Allied Expeditionary Forces Network to Europe. Here in Britain, we are most of us lonely. Lonely for our own friends and relations still at the war, and lonely, many of us, for friends we made during the war who have now gone home again. To illustrate this, we take you to a typical English village, the village of Great Yeldham in Essex. Thousands of American flying men were stationed at the nearby base of Ridgewell, and now they are gone. The London Column now takes you to that village to hear from some of the people of Great Yeldham how they feel now that they are alone again. First, the rector, a man with gentle face and snow-white hair, as he stands in the doorway of the 13th century church of St. Andrews.
Within a few weeks of the outbreak of war, news came that soldiers would be stationed amongst us, and the parishioner made the remark, "I see they have placed Great Yeldham on the map and made it a garrison town." Little did we then realize the truth of those words until the United States Air Force came into our midst. Looking back on our stay amongst us, we regret that owing to rations we could not afford offer the hospitality that we should have liked. Also, we are sorry to know that so many fine young men have given their lives in the cause of freedom. It was a great pleasure to us to have your chaplain, Dr. James Good Brown, preaching from Great Yeldham pulpit when he preached for the first time in this country. We in Great Yeldham shared hard times and good times with our American guests. The climax came with the mass service on VE Day when again Dr. Brown gave an inspiring farewell message. Many friendships were formed, and I hope that in years to come, they will again be renewed in less strenuous years.
Now meet Mrs. D, as she was known to many thousands of American boys who visited the famous old White Hart Inn.
And do I remember them? Why, thousands of them must have come in here. Especially do I remember Pat Burnsall of Ohio and Bart from Texas. He used to live here. At least he had a room here, and he was a grand boy. Of course, he gave us lots of trouble, but still we loved him. And Eddie Boyle from Washington, he was a pet, too. He used to help us behind the bar and do all sorts of things for us. And Bill Sherbin from California, he'll always live in our memory. And Mel Johnson from Spokane, he was a wonderful person. There was Captain Greenfield of the MTU and Jimmy Martin, all grand people and people we shall never forget. I remember Bill Sherbin in here came in one night. He was very downhearted and said he was never going to fly again if he could help it, no matter what they did with him. But I have little pair of wooden shoes I gave them. Told them they were very lucky. Well, anyway, Bill went on flying and took the wooden shoes with him. I wonder if he still got them.
And now to the school, for it is in the children's hearts that the Americans are remembered most vividly.
I do miss the candies most of all.
I miss the ice cream. And the fruit and other lovely things we can't get in England. And my word, what about those Christmas parties they gave us? My present was a doll.
I had a paint box.
And I had a pencil case.
My present was a box of bricks.
And mine was a paint box too.
We all had bags of sweets.
Yes, we sang all sorts of songs, both theirs and ours.
Let's sing one now.
What about the Star-Spangled Banner?
Said what so many of us think, and we can say it no better. Soon we will be playing our part in the forward march of the United Nations in a world at peace. London Column will illustrate that story for you, as it has illustrated the story of the victory which has made all our futures possible. And from London now, we send you the sound of the bells of one of our oldest churches, the Church of St. Mary Le Bow. And to their music, this is your narrator, Robert Beatty, closing London Column. The program was written and produced by John Irwin.